Life moves fast, but you have the power to freeze time with family portraits from Lauren Campbell Photography. How does Lauren work? She'll capture as many images as possible during your photo shoot in her studio in Windsor Heights, your home, or an outdoor location. After each session, she provides you with a web gallery of the best photos, cropped and edited. This usually includes fun and candid photos that really capture the moment. Freeze time with LaurenCampbellPhotography.com.
Let's double your business revenue. How? Arian helps you save time and money by helping you through your employment challenges. A recent study revealed that organizations like Arian can help you double your revenue by handling your HR tasks like payroll, benefits, onboarding, and compliance. With Arian as your HR partner, you'll also experience more productivity, better benefits, and mitigated risk, all while doing what you love to do, your business. Start increasing your revenue. Visit AURION.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AURION.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us in studio from the Technic Conference is Ryan Weber from the KC. That would be, for those of you who don't understand Midwestern, that would be the Kansas City Tech Council. Also, Doug Robertson is with us from Venn Innovation. He's from New Brunswick in Canada, and both are members of the Techna Board. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you both here.
Great to be here, Michael.
So, Doug, let's start with you, if we can. You are the incoming poobah for Techna. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Congratulations. Was it an expensive race?
It was a tight race, very competitive, but in all seriousness, we've got a really great group around the boardroom table, it's an honor for me to be chosen by my colleagues to play this role for the organization.
Talk to us a little bit, would you, Doug, about Techna and its mission?
I see the Techna mission. Obviously, we're a network of some 50 tech councils, tech organizations across the U.S., Canada, and most recently we've signed up our first Mexican members.
Nice.
So we're truly covering North America and growing in that capacity. In many respects, it's a very powerful peer group. We do a lot of peer learning from each other, and that's one of the nice things about the work that we do. We're not in competition with each other, so it's a great way to learn best practices, what's working, what's not working. It's also a strong network if I have a company, a client, a partner who's looking to make a connection in Des Moines, in Vancouver, in Atlanta. We've got a really awesome network of like-minded organizations, trusted partners who can do those referrals for our companies.
And those members who are members of Techna, obviously in the technology space, but if you had to generalize, who are they? Are they providers of services? Are they corporations themselves? How does that work?
They're typically all member-based, not-for-profit organizations. So 401c3, I think, is the term in the U.S. or 501.
That's all right. It'll work.
It's one of those. Anyway, they're all not-for-profit member-based organizations, providing a variety of services, and the mix will vary from organization to organization, region to region. But we're all working with and supporting the growth of the tech industry writ large, and that's a very dynamic space. It's one of the fastest growing segments of our economies. CompTIA projects as high as 7% growth in the tech industry globally this year alone. So it's fast moving, it's fast changing, and our job is to provide a range of services and support programs to help those companies realize their goals and objectives.
One of the things that we consistently hear, of course, unemployment in the United States is about 4%. I'm not sure what it is in Canada.
It's close.
Same level, yeah. And here in the greater Des Moines metro, we're hitting at about 2.7, 2.8, depends on who you talk to. So finding those workers in those fields continues to be a struggle for many companies.
And it's a huge, and for a number of years, has been probably the number one challenge for the companies we work with. Talent, it's a global war for talent, if
it
you
is.
Will. So all of the companies we work with, and you can talk to any of our colleagues in Canada and the U.S., talent is the number one thing. And so we're all doing different things to support the talent pipeline, to support. In Canada, for example, we're doing a lot of work to streamline the immigration process for top talent, because a lot of these people may not be next door down the street. They might be in the States or somewhere in Europe or someplace else. So these companies are all working in a global economy, and it's only natural they're going to find talent around the world.
Yeah, but, and Canada has taken a real lead in that. I saw your prime minister not long ago talking about that very subject, the need for more and more individuals to come to Canada so that they can be part of the economy there, and the welcoming attitude that Canada has towards immigration. It's quite startling.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. It's still a huge challenge, and in a lot of regions, like my region is a smaller part of the country.
Yeah, New Brunswick is tiny.
We're small. We're on the East Coast, on the Atlantic Ocean side of the country. Our whole province is only 750,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's particularly challenging for smaller regions. How do we differentiate ourselves in that war for talent? And so one of our objectives is to try to work with our industry to do that.
Tell us just a bit about Venn Innovation. What is that?
So we're very similar to what is typically known as a tech council in the U.S. We're a member-based organization providing a range of programs and services to tech companies across the province of New Brunswick. And in some cases, we have a couple of our programs. One is a market intelligence program. Another one is around competitive intelligence. And we're actually partnering with other organizations in the other three Atlantic provinces of Canada to make those available more broadly.
Interesting stuff. And I'm sure that many of our listeners right now are going, I had no idea such a thing exists. And it is said that most corporations, whatever those corporations happen to be, in the United, whether it's manufacturing or service related, are really techno companies, but they're doing whatever they do.
Well, and it's interesting, because in our space, I think what we're realizing is the definition of what is a tech company.
Yeah.
Has been evolving.
Yes.
We've got a lot of companies, for example, in the insurance space. They've got huge tech organizations within the companies. And so they're very interested, especially on the talent side, to be part of what we're trying to do.
That is the voice of Doug Robertson. He is the incoming president for the group called Techno. Let's turn our attention to Ryan Weber. We're going stateside for just a minute, the Kansas City Tech Council. Ryan, welcome to the Des Moines Metro. Good to have you
here.
Thank
you. It's good to be back here.
Hey,
just down the street.
Have you visited often?
I have. I've been here a few times, yeah.
Oh, good. We always love it when folks from KC come up north. So tell us a little bit about your role with regard to Techno.
Yeah, we're a member council, so there's roughly about, I'd say, 60 members, and those are those organizations that make up the Techno group. But for my role, I've been on the board a couple of years and excited to serve in a new leadership role in the next year. Certainly there's a lot of value in connecting with these groups and sharing best practices, and like Doug mentioned, the network is something that's very powerful. It's important to have a network where you live, but it's even more important to have one elsewhere.
I'm really interested in technology as it pertains to Kansas City. My real job outside of this is an advertising and marketing agency. So we spend lots of time with data coming out of Kansas City, because Kansas City is known as one of the nation's biggest marketing opportunities. If you want a product or service, you want to test market something, you go to KC, because it's smack dab in the middle of the country and you have loads of people down there. Would that be pretty accurate?
Yeah, our demographic almost mirrors exactly the national demographic. Yeah, we're often the guinea pigs for a lot of fast food test drives.
That's right.
And, yeah, I guess that's a privilege.
Sure, it is.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, because you're seen as this cross-section of Americana, if you will. And because your immigration status, I mean, so many people have migrated to Kansas City, as they are migrating to Des Moines, interestingly enough, but to Kansas City for that very reason, centrally located, easy to get around, and you've got a great community. Tell us a little bit about Kansas City and technology.
Well, I mean, you mentioned something very important. I think our greatest asset is that we're located right in the middle of the country, and maybe in Kansas City, we forget that sometimes, because we try to punch above our weight on a regular basis. But we're also very lucky to have some pillar tech companies that are growing like crazy in the region. That's Cerner, it's Garmin, it's Sprint, H&R Block, Hallmark, you name it, that are headquartered there. Cerner alone is looking to hire 10,000 people over the next couple of years, and they've got multiple campuses throughout the region, and it's just insane. And they need a lot of workers, a lot of tech talent.
And they're coming from where?
From anywhere. They're recruiting from all over the globe, actually. So they've launched centers in a number of different countries just to find that talent. There's quite a lot of global opportunity, electronic medical records and other managed services that they provide. But the benefit of being in the middle of the country is they're easily accessible to their hospital clients. So they can get to a hospital site in just a couple of hours if they need to. And that's one of the values of being there.
You know, that's a stunning conversation that we're having right now, because if you're listening to this, you're hearing, you know, 5,000, 10,000 employees trying to find these folks and finding individual. I mean, this is a conversation that we have with every single manufacturing or service related industry across the globe, and is finding this talent, and how, interestingly enough, many corporations are starting at the high school level to build in interns and then paying for or assisting with a college education so that they're in the pipeline. Are you seeing any of that in Kansas City?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been in this role now for almost 7 years. I would say in the very beginning, it was interesting with the companies we worked with, big or small, when this tech talent issue would come up, and sometimes they would blame Kansas City. They would say that we're not a big enough draw. We can't recruit people here and blah, blah, blah. But it's not a city issue. There's just not enough people anywhere. And if you start looking at the numbers of available talent to available competition, you know, there are places like Denver that's actually right now the hardest place to find tech talent. Even if you look at the numbers, you'd see there's a large number of workers, but there's a large number of employers. So the competition is steep. And, you know, you mentioned migration, and that's kind of interesting too, because I think the biggest threat facing every major tech hub in America is costs. And here in the Midwest, and probably New Brunswick, you know, we don't have that issue yet.
Right.
I think we could someday, but, you know, we're not limited with geography or growth or infrastructure. We're set. We're ready to grow in the Midwest. And I think business leaders on the coast are operating in very unpredictable business environments, especially with talent. And there was an article that's been circulating last week about how a $150,000 salary in San Francisco is considered low income.
Absolutely. I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking about several studies that we've seen where housing issues in places like San Francisco and Silicon Valley are almost impossible to find. As a matter of fact, there's some, you'll like this story. There was about 12 or 13 fresh-faced great people from Facebook recently that visited the Des Moines market. And I was sitting talking with them saying, hey, what's it like out there? And they said, oh, well, you know, we're all post-college by 5 to 6 years, but we're still all living together out there in kind of a communal arrangement because we can't afford living opportunities. And I said, well, you know, come to Iowa or Kansas City or New Brunswick.
A one-bedroom 700 square foot apartment in Silicon Valley is $4,600 a month.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I think for the Midwest, we can't just sell the fact that we're a low cost option. From a marketing standpoint, I'd say that's the weakest selling term is to say you're cheaper.
Yep.
So the value
of live by the dollar, die by the dollar, right?
Yeah. I mean, the value of being in the Midwest needs to be expressed differently, but more importantly, the vision of the future of the Midwest and what it's going to be like to operate businesses, raise families, all that here. It's much more of a value proposition than it used to be. Being cheap is not going to grow any Midwestern city.
That is the voice of Ryan Weber. He is with the KC Tech Council. We are at the Technic Conference. It's been held in the greater Des Moines metro. Last year, I think, Doug, we were in Canada, weren't you, for that conference?
Yeah, last year the conference was hosted by our good friends in Waterloo. So an awesome gathering there. The conference was
Waterloo, Ontario.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
There's a Waterloo, Iowa, and so people.
That, okay, very good. Yeah. So actually, the Kitchener-Waterloo region of Ontario. We had a great time there. Waterloo, of course, is one of the most dynamic tech regions in the world. People come from all over the world to see what's happening there. So that was very cool. But it's really interesting. Ryan noted, some of the challenges that some of the smaller regions face in talent. And we do have a different challenge, but it's also an opportunity in terms of not just the cost of living, but the quality of life that you can have in some of these smaller markets. And that's something that we're seeing, and I think Ryan is seeing and Des Moines is seeing, is the quality of life here. And I've had a chance to look around your beautiful city here, and it's a wonderful place. And it's no wonder it's one of the fastest growing cities in the region, if not in the country. We're seeing people coming back home. We're seeing people coming from other parts of the country because they can afford a nice place to live, a nice place to raise their family. In our case, they're 20 minutes from the beach, from the ocean. I drive home to lunch at home in 6 minutes from my downtown office. Stuff like that, you can't, you know, in major centers, you're going to spend a few hours every day just sitting in your car. That's important for a lot of people.
It is a quality of life.
And things are changing. If I may, I just want to give a quick shout out from Ryan and I and the board and the whole group to the amazing job that Brian Waller and his team at the Iowa Tech Council have done putting on this event here. You mentioned the Waterloo Conference last year. A lot of work goes into putting on these events and putting on a quality event with content that's important to us. And just a shout out to Brian and his team. They've done an amazing job putting on this program.
The Technology Association of Iowa has certainly come into its own. And generally, and from New Brunswick or from Kansas City, you know, Des Moines continues to punch above its weight on a constant basis. Just last week, the city hosted the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives, over 1,000 individuals from across the United States, and 15, I believe it was, foreign countries were here. And to a person, they were going, wow, what a community. You know, so it all does matter in the end. What are you looking for? Let's fast forward real quickly, if we can, as you look toward the future of Techno. Where do you think the organization needs to be in the next 2 to 5 years? I know that's a lifetime in technology.
It's a lifetime in technology. As I said, the industry changes so rapidly, and the technologies that drive it change so rapidly. And we've been at the board level. We've been talking about that. What new things we can do to help our members help their companies. We've done variously both in the U.S. and Canada a lot of good policy work. Over the last number of years, our U.S. colleagues do a lot of work and meet every year in D.C. In February for some policy work there. We have a similar process in Canada. The lobby effort is a little different, but same effect. We come to the nation's capital with our sense of what's happening in the industry and the kinds of things that government should be looking at. So, for example, 2 years ago, the Canadian members brought in a proposal for a global talent visa program, if you will, a process to help the government put in place a program to dramatically accelerate the time it takes for our companies to bring in that global top talent. And a year later, the government adopted that program in the global talent stream, and companies can now get top talent into the country within weeks as opposed to months. So that sort of thing. So I think there's a growing opportunity and role there and responsibility even for Techno in that front. I think the talent space, we're going to continue to work together to find new ways to help our companies on the talent piece. That remains the top challenge. And I think there's opportunities for growth. We, as I mentioned at the top, we've just recently had our first members from Mexico join the organization. We've had a number of affiliate members in Europe, and there's lots of interest from different folks over in the European countries to be involved with Techno or have organizations that work similarly to Techno. So I think there's some interesting growth opportunities there for us.
The word is interesting because all of this moves forward at light speed, ladies and gentlemen. And one of those things, that, for example, the Technology Association of Iowa, or it can be the KC Tech Council, or Ben?
Innovation.
I'm not reading my own writing over here. That are helpmates to making sure that technology stands with our businesses and nonprofits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate it. You've been listening to Doug Robertson. He's from New Brunswick, and also Ryan Weber out of Kansas City. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. More coming up next.